Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour here with you on 91.5 FM talking about the Word of God and the fact that God is our deliverer. I was ready to start, and Paul said, every time I hear an expression like that, I think of a time during one of the hurricanes. I really haven't seen that many mice or rats at our church through the years. We don't have anything there for them to eat. So 1 year there was, during one of the hurricanes, we had a rat that came running around the corner, and it was going to run down in between our two buildings that we have. And there happened to be three of us guys that were standing there, and the rat looked up and saw us, and it did like a 360. It just planted that left rear leg there, and it went and then took off, continued on the direction that it was going to go originally before it hung that left turn. There are so many feral cats, I don't see how a rat could ever survive in that area. Anyway, that was just kind of the funny thing that went through my mind. My mind is a strange place where all sorts of interesting things go on there. So anyway, my name's Bob Arthurs. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them the call. They've got decades of experience. They know how to work. Got a person I was talking to some time back, works in a very demanding field, hot sun, and he was describing how difficult it is. He pays his people very well, but how difficult it is to get people who are willing to work. He said there are a lot of times that they don't survive a day working for me. And, you know, they'd come at lunchtime and say, I just can't do this. And he said, can you make it to the end of the day? And they said, nope, can't make that either. The folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, they know how to work until they get the job done. And so I encourage you to give them a call. I think that you will be glad that you did. So tonight's Bible study night, and we'd love to invite you out to that. Come and be a part of what God is doing. This coming Sunday night, we do not have our traditional evening service. This is the night of our annual business meetings this coming Sunday night. And we will be celebrating our best year that we have ever had. And so that is very exciting for us as we look back and prepare ourselves to move forward into 2020. With fresh vision and understanding of what God is wanting to do. We have had a lot of affliction. My family has been under attack. There's been a number of people in the church that have been under physical attack. And so rather than just throw up our white flag of surrender and say, oh, well, we're bringing out the big guns. We're bringing out the Word of God, and we're praying and believing for healing in our church. That's what God has told me to focus on. And I'm going to continue to preach healing until my very last breath. And so, that's primarily what our Sunday mornings look a lot, like right now, is praying for people to be made completely and totally whole. We believe that nothing is too hard for God. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today in 2 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 15. This is Elisha as he is talking to King Jehoram, King Jehoshaphat, and the king of Edom. And he says, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water so that your cattle and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. When we cry out to God for deliverance, it doesn't matter how hopeless the situation appears. We need to realize that for God, this is a very, very simple thing. Okay? There's not anything that God's up there fretting and wringing his hands and say, oh, I don't know if I can, I don't know. He knows that he can. He is the omnipotent God. When Elisha tells this story or tells this statement that it is a very simple thing with God, it is in direct contradiction to King Jehoram, whose declaration has been repeatedly, God's called us all three together because he wants to hand all three of our kingdoms over to this one king who's not worshiping God. This is God's fault that we're in such a mess. And Elisha says, here's what you need to do. Not because I say so, but because the Lord says so. Dig holes in the valley, and you're not going to hear the wind, you're not going to see the rain, but I'm going to provide water for you that is going to be more than enough to take care of your hydration needs, your animals, and your cattle. Everything is going to be taken care of. So when you look at the potential that God says here, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, how much capacity do you want to be able to have in your life? When God says, I see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you do not have room enough to contain, how much containment do you want to have in your life that it begins to overflow? When my wife and I got married, we had these little bitty plastic fancy cups. They had a stem on them, and they had a drinking capacity that was about one good swallow. That was about it. And I'm a person that I go through a lot of water whenever I go to a restaurant to eat. I just say, you know, if you can just park the pitcher there. If not, you're going to be coming back a lot of times, and a lot of places have them come back a lot of times. I just drink a lot of water. And so at our wedding, because the cup and the groom would be the one who would get the drinks for his wife as well. So I'm constantly going over to the unspiked punch bowl, and it was unspiked. The reception was at a church, and when I think of the reception, I just remember myself living over there at the punch bowl, filling up glass after glass. I think I even may have grabbed a second glass at one point in time. And it wasn't like we had a big meal or anything like that. We just had there was antipasto salad. I remember the antipasto salad and Italian wedding cookies. I remember those two and the punch. But I want to have capacity. I worked for a pastor, and when he sat down, he drank a lot, and he pulled out a pitcher. He said, this is a number one container here. That means one of these will get me through the meal. What type of capacity do you have in your life that God can say, no matter how big that is, I am bigger in my provision than you are in your containment. I think that we need to raise the bar of our capacity. There was a king who comes to Elisha, and Elisha says, take the arrows and strike them against the ground. And the king just doesn't really think too much about it. And he kind of taps on the ground three times, and Elisha gets very upset with him. He said, you should have smacked the ground numerous times. Now you will only defeat this army three times. If you had struck it multiple times, you could have got ultimate victory over your enemy. But now that's not going to be the case. Let's create capacity. Capacity for faith. Capacity for the Word of God. Let's build capacity into our services where the Holy Spirit is free to move, where lives are free to be changed and transformed. I personally love the concept that I am never going to know everything there is to know about God in this lifetime. When I think of that, that doesn't cause me to want to just say, well, if I'm not going to know everything until eternity, I might as well not press on now. I want to know as much about him now as I can. The Imperials had a song that said, so that when the time comes for me to go to heaven, it's no big change. It's still a learning curve that is in process. And Elisha says, I'm giving you the instruction. I'm giving you the thus saith the Lord. You've got to do thus saith the Lord. If you don't do the thus saith the Lord, then they would have missed their miracle. And they would have shaken their fist at God and complained about the fact that it didn't come through when they had actually lived in disobedience. Let's not do that. So one of the things as a pastor is that I ask people, because I've had to answer this question myself, and that is, God would say, have you done what I told you to do? And the one time I'm thinking of specifically right now was I had not done what God had told me to do. And so then God said, well, how about if I give you a strategy that will help you to get to completion on this? And that's what I did. And so I continue to believe that if God gives us instructions, we need to give him obedience, and it needs to be full obedience, not just partial obedience. This is a simple matter in the sight of God. Nothing is too difficult for him. It is not too challenging for him. And it says, and he's also going to deliver the enemy into your hand. I'm sure that those kings did not realize that their one act of obedience was going to be the key to delivering from their drought conditions, as well as what would deliver them from their adversary. Obedience goes a long, long ways in the kingdom of God. Don't ever minimize the value that obedience has. And then he says, and when I deliver it, I want you to make sure that your enemy doesn't have the capacity, doesn't have the power, the ability to regain its strength so that it comes at you again. That is what is talked about here. The fortified cities were going to be taken care of. The trees were going to be damaged. Their water sources, the places that they grew their crops, all of that was going to be compromised, and that was going to cause them to not be able to focus on their enemies. They were going to have to focus on rebuilding their own infrastructure. It could take a long, long time for them to regain their strength. So let's look at verse number 20. Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is the blood of the kings, or this is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. And so when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. They destroyed the cities. Each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it up, and they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones of Kir Hareseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. So here's what happened. The next morning, they got up and they presented their offerings to God, their grain offering. And then the water miraculously began to flow. All of a sudden, everything that they had done in preparation began to fill to capacity. I just feel encouraged to say to myself and to say to someone else out there, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Okay? The more preparation that goes into something, the greater the victory is going to be. There are a lot of people who say, well, I don't like to go in. I don't like to prepare. You know, I just like to let the Spirit flow through me. Well, I want you to know that the Spirit is not separated from preparation. Preparation is very, very important. It was one of the first studies that I did here on the Refresh Radio program. If you want to go back and listen on the on-demand portion, you could go back to, let's see, 2013, December of 2013, was when we started talking about that. It was revelation to me. I learned more doing this program than you do listening to it. And it's not that I'm a novice at it. I've been studying the Word of God, and I get excited when I hear, especially my kids talking about things that they're learning in the Word. And it's like, yes, they're hearing from God for themselves. I like it when it's not just, well, somebody said this, I don't remember who it was, that God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And so my kids don't get to have a relationship with God simply because I had a relationship with God. They have the opportunity to repent of their sins and have a relationship with God on their very own merits. Their own relationship, their own sins being forgiven. And my grandkids will be the same way. And you know, I get excited whenever I hear about a progression in the faith walk of my grandkids. That is absolutely thrilling to me. And so they made this offering. And, you know, I would say that if there is going to be an intense spiritual struggle that happens during a church service, it would probably be during the time where there are tithes and offerings. And I don't say that because the church is about money. We're not. If we were about money, we wouldn't give so much of it away. But that's not the case. The Bible says that greed is idolatry. And so if there is something that is going on in a person's life, there may be a spiritual war that takes place. Do I honor God with my tithe, which is His, it is holy, or do I lay hold of God's tithe? Do I offer it up to an idol by trying to hang on to it myself? It's kind of like trying to close your hand and hang on to air or hang on to water. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. And so God was constantly trying to teach us as individuals that it is not just it shall be given unto you. It is also give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So about the time that they made the offering, you know, I'm not trying to say you can buy your miracle or anything like that. I don't believe that. But God does bless obedience. And I tell people that when it comes to evaluating things, I don't evaluate things in a silo formation. So you've got category A, category B, category C, category D, and you evaluate each one of those silos or those compartments and say, well, this is how much came in and this is how much went out. So either this silo was good or that silo was good. But I like to evaluate it on this. There's all of these silos and all of them are important. And I don't care which one of them that God begins to pour a blessing out, that there's going to be a big enough blessing that it's going to fill up its silo. It's going to spill over into all of the other silos as well. I'm a big believer in the faith of an individual. I'm a big believer in the faith of a local congregation. I'm a big believer in the faith of a group. We need to be people of faith. We need to say, you know what? Answering this cry for deliverance by God, it's a simple thing for him to do. And I just need to hear a word from him. What does he want me to do? Then I'm going to do it. I'm going to give to him what belongs to him. And then guess what? The water started filling all of those valleys. Well, the children of Israel, the people of Judah, the people of Edom, they're all excited because now there's water for their horses. There's water for their cattle. There's water for their flocks. And so their crisis is over in the valley that the enemy is still looking down at them at on. On to them from. I'll get the right word order yet. The enemy is still looking over them while they are enjoying God's provision. The enemy is still lurking. But the enemy misinterpreted the signs. They looked down and they saw that entire landscape was filled with water, and they thought because of the way that the sun was shining and the appearance that it had, they looked down and they said, that's blood down there. Surely the people that have gathered against us started attacking one another. Let me give you a final word of wisdom today, and that is this. We can't afford to be doing the devil's business. He's the accuser of the brethren. And I say this, I've said this repeatedly. You don't have to go far to find flaw with people. It doesn't take a special skill set. But do you know how to edify? Do you know how to encourage? Do you know how to comfort? Because that's really what we're called to do. Do you know how to help somebody who finds themselves in a crisis and they need God to show up in a big way? I can't share on the radio here details or anything, but I am celebrating the fact that some people that I know very, very well are rallying around an individual whose life was impacted in a horrific way. And they are rallying around that individual and are praying for them. They are living out the word of God for them, and they're expecting to see supernatural things take place, not for a pat on the back, not for any of that sort of stuff, but to see that person delivered not only from things, but delivered to a vibrant relationship in the body of Christ. Folks, we need one another. And if today you are looking at it and you're saying, you know, I've just got this dark cloud over me and surely God has set me up for failure, I want to be the person that comes alongside of you today and said, and tells you this. It's a simple thing. That doesn't mean that, there's never going to be any traumatic events that happen in your life. But God goes with us through those things. I don't think it was a coincidence that Elisha was right there. I believe that it was very, very important. And like I said, when we came up on that, Elisha had a reputation. The word of the Lord was in him. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah, and he knew how to hear from God. Those are three wonderful characteristics to have if we are going to see deliverance from our enemy. So with that being said, I want to let you know that we will be at church tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll be having our Wednesday night Bible study on the authority of the believer. We'll also be having our youth group meet. And we would love to see you there. Don't give up. Don't give up. God's not done with you yet. He has great things in store for you. I pray that you have a wonderful day, a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship, on the Refresh radio program, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. Rebroadcast on WWBC 1510 AM at 10:30 of a morning. And if this has been helpful to you, could you send us a little email, a little note? There's contact information on our website, meritassembly.com. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Shifting ground, I'm reaching out.